TikTok. Pippa's on Twitter at PJC Hudson.
We're going to move much further away, though still connected to a subject that has very, very close relevance to us here in South Africa. And I'm talking about behavior on the roads. We're still awaiting the formal announcement of the final death toll from the Easter weekend. I believe that that figure is going to be released tomorrow. But we already know it's over 20 in this province, more than 30 deaths each in Gauteng and in KZN. And we also know that drunk driving was a large contributor. We know that here in the Western Cape, for example, the authorities arrested 33 people for alleged drunk driving in a single night, the Thursday night before the start of the Easter weekend. And that same evening in KZN, nearly 100 drunk drivers found themselves behind bars in Durban following a crackdown by their metro police. But you know, that's great. It's progress. There are roadblocks. There are results. But all the roadblocks and the breathalyzers in the world won't curb the problem unless we can find a way to substantially change attitudes on the road and attitudes towards drunk driving. The bottom line is that there are still too many people who think it's not as big a risk as it's made out to be and who think that they can get away with it, that they're not likely to be caught. And even if they are caught, the consequences won't be that dire because it'll take years to process the case. Documentation will probably be lost. Blood samples will be processed badly. And even if they are convicted, the fines won't be all that bad. It's a big contributor to the problem, this culture of still being willing to take the risk. And that culture is one that's absent in many other countries. And one of those countries being Sweden, where our EWN correspondent Jean-Jacques Cornish is based at the moment. Sweden has arguably the toughest drunk driving laws in Europe, if not in the world. I'm interested to find out today what that means in practice on their roads and what the impact has been of that regime. Jean-Jacques, once again, lovely to have you with us. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Pippa, nice to be talking to you. You know, it hasn't an impact in terms of reducing road deaths. They reckon that if they didn't have such strict laws, they would be three times higher. I don't have the latest road death figure, but, you know, Sweden, of course, they're gregarious people and certainly enjoy their drink as much as the rest. But when it comes to drink driving, there's just like a absolutely no frills policy at all. You just don't do it, you know. Here in South Africa, one remembers the weight and how much you've drunk, and you can work out, you know, whether you would make it through a test or you wouldn't in Sweden. And there are something like 2.5 million random alcohol tests done here. So they keep it up. But the limit, the absolute limit here is 0.02%. And if you go over that, you could spend 6 months in jail. If you go over 0.1%, you could find yourself 2 years in jail. So, I mean, they're very, very, very tough on it. And when you get your driver's license, you do a two-hour seminar on drink driving and the dangers of it. So it's something that they take very, very seriously. And when you talk to Swedes and say, oh, well, come on, surely, you know, come on, you're going to have another one. Absolutely not. You have... either you have a designated driver who does not touch a single drink, or you take a cab, or you take a bus, or you use public transport.
I have to ask the question, JJ, about whether the cost of alcohol is perhaps a factor in this in this approach, because I know from a friend who used to live in Stockholm that it's ludicrously expensive to drink in the first place in Sweden, so much so that on a Friday night he and his friends would get on the ferry and go across to Denmark because it was cheaper to literally go to another country and come back again when you factored in the cost of the couple of beers in the pub. Do you think that perhaps plays something of a role in making them slightly more modest in their drinking habits?
Well, I mean, certainly in terms of drinking at pubs and restaurants, there are you speaking about your friends who are called alcohol tourists, you know. I mean, you get on this big ferry here that goes to Finland, and it costs a relatively small amount of money to take it, and of course you then come back with a carload. Everybody reckons that the reason why Swedes buy station wagons, you know, the Volvo station wagons are so prolific, is because they rack up the drink in the back of it. You have to buy drink from a government outlet. The government has a monopoly on selling drink at the Systembolaget, and you have to buy it there, and it's expensive even there. But once you get into the pubs, you know, we have like a 300% markup. They mark it up six times sometimes for a beer or a glass of wine or for for a drink. Sweden was once in the vodka belt, you know, and they have been a sense of drinking like the Russians did. But some time ago, they decided, I mean, certainly the turn of last century, that they had to kind of dry up. And if now Swedes pursue beer and wine, and the spirits still remain very, very popular. I mean, at a Easter smorgasbord we had to drink schnapps and sing songs in between every course. So, I mean, they still like it. In fact, it's reckoned that if you walked around stone sober on a weekend, people would say, what's happening to you? Are you the designated driver? People wouldn't think to go into a club or enjoy themselves on a weekend without having a few, you know, under the belt. But the thing about it is, and you pay for it, there's no doubt about it, you do pay. It's the most expensive in Europe. It's about nearly three times as much as it costs in Germany and in Britain and places like that. But again, you enjoy it, but you get there on by taxi or public transport. Mm. Never think that you can drive there.
Final question, Jean-Jacques, is given what you've just described for us, how incredibly strict they are, also given the fact that the Swedish driver's license is meant to be one of the most difficult to get in Europe, have you witnessed the best driving ever on their roads?
Well, you know, the driving is remarkably good, and you can certainly see a linear difference in the way Swedes drive compared to South Africans. The fact is, though, I mean, I've noticed a huge number of people talking on their mobile phones, and that struck me. And it seems that only the laws here are not as tight as they are in the rest of Europe. They sort of as lax as they are in Albania. So that's one contradiction that they have. But apparently, if you do are caught in kind of any compromising situation or make an accident with your phone, you're in for the high jump. But they seem to tolerate it a great deal more. More people talking on phones here than housewives in Houghton. So it's quite a figure, huh?
It is indeed. Jean-Jacques Cornish, thanks so much for the update. We'll touch base with him once more next week before he departs Sweden. But interesting, 0.02% their limit. Somebody's already asked me, what is the South African figure? Ours is 0.05 grams per 100 mil. And I know the AA is one of many groups that have been lobbying for that to be reduced to the kind of level that Sweden implements in its laws. Thanks for your interest.